ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What happens when medicine is sold like a makeover?
Their marketing is very good.
Clinics with five-star reviews selling miracle cures.
I left that place thinking I found myself a solution.
But it's your body that pays the price.
I had one cheek higher than the other, one cheek further out from my nose.
Before and After, a new series on how medical hype spreads online, who profits and who pays. Search for Background Briefing on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Asbestos is banned in Australia and can't be imported. But in the last week, it's been found in children's coloured sand brought in from China. The discovery has led to the closure of dozens of schools, mainly in the ACT, but also the recall of products from stores like Kmart, Target and Officeworks around the country. Today, Anthony Linton from the Asbestos and Dust Diseases Research Institute on the health risks the sand poses and why every state is dealing with it differently. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Anthony, why don't we first have a look at how this all began? Now, last week, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission, it issued a recall for several children's sand products. So just tell me about that.
Sure. So we received notification on Thursday of last week that a number of products that had been used in schools, homes, sold in major retailers, including Officeworks, Bunnings, Kmart and so forth, had had testing undertaken which had detected small and trace amounts of asbestos in a number of products that mostly revolved around creative sand that would be used in many locations.
A recall has been issued for a decorative coloured sand, which has been found to contain traces of chrysotile, a type of asbestos.
The crisis surrounding kids' play sand products that are potentially laced with asbestos has escalated, with scores of Canberra schools closed as more products are recalled.
Across the ditch in New Zealand, several schools also closed.
A handful of Catholic schools closed in South Australia and Tasmania today.
Two specialist schools in South Australia have closed for deep cleaning, but nearly 300 schools in the state have the sand.
Now, just explain for me where this product had actually come from, because it had largely originated from China, hadn't it?
So our understanding, yes, is that these products had originated in China. Australia had banned asbestos, including imports, as of the end of 2003. Mm. But many countries in the world, including China, continue to mine and manufacture products that contain asbestos.
Mm, okay, but it's slipped through the cracks.
That's right. And to be fair, I don't think that's necessarily surprising. We have very strict border controls, but it's a global economy and the volume of products that come in and out of Australia, and particularly with asbestos, where it can be found in many products and there is a danger that it will be detected in trace amounts. And it's difficult to know which products actually always to look for. So our border forces do a very good job of screening this. But of course, there's always going to be a danger that things can slip through.
Just explain to me then what sort of asbestos was detected in it.
So our understanding is at the moment is two different kinds of asbestos have been detected. One is called tremolite and the other is called chrysotile. And these fibres at the moment we know well as long-standing asbestos-related fibres. The concern with them is that we know that asbestos causes significant health risks. But our understanding is at the moment the risk of airborne asbestos in these products is actually very low, and the testing so far has revealed no real significant respirable asbestos detected.
Okay, well, Anthony, this recall has caused incredible disruption because, of course, it has seen the closure of more than 70 schools across the country. Some have reopened now. Mainly, they were in Canberra in the ACT.
It's been a pretty concerning time, I would have thought, for parents in the ACT.
I think whenever anyone hears about asbestos being in products, people are understandably concerned. And Canberra, really going back to last century with their experiences of Mr. Fluffy and the waves of asbestos-related disease that Canberra then experienced.
Back in the 1960s, Dirk Jansen had a bright idea about a new way to insulate homes around Canberra. He began pumping crushed raw asbestos into the ceilings of more than 1,000 houses.
It was marketed as asbestos fluff, the perfect insulating material that retains effectiveness forever.
They rightfully have very, very strict laws and regulations surrounding the identification of asbestos, which probably explains why the school closures have been triggered so aggressively in this situation.
Yes, it was a pretty stressful time for a lot of people in Canberra.
Definitely, and the nature of asbestos exposure causing disease is that there's often a long period of time from that first exposure to actually developing disease, which is why many of the health problems were noted quite late in the piece and obviously more recently.
Yeah, it can be up to 60 years, right?
That's right.
For a cancer to actually develop.
That's right. So we know that on average, lung cancer as a result of asbestos occur about 20 to 30 years after exposure. But for mesothelioma, it can be 30 to 60 years after exposure that they can develop symptoms and these malignancies.
Well, one Gold Coast woman, Janelle Wills, she was really worried because her four-year-old son, he played constantly with this sand at her home.
I'm angry. I'm really angry because, I mean, aren't we supposed to have testing for these kind of things before they reach our children? Our paints, our pens, all our craft supplies, any of those products now, they've lost all credibility to me.
So you can understand the panic she would be feeling.
Understandably, and I think that has been a concern for many parents as well as educators for which had these in their homes and in their schools. And when we know and we have these connotations of asbestos being this deadly dust, the fear is there. I think reassuringly at the moment, we think that actually, because we're not seeing these respirable fibres, that the risk is going to be very low. And we do historically need to look back to even in towns like Wittenoom in Western Australia, for which the town was effectively all asbestos. Asbestos was used in the tailings that went on the nature strips. Certainly whilst that had a very high burden of asbestos-related disease, not everyone got it despite very high levels of exposure. Mm. So with much, much smaller levels, and again, particularly where we don't see respirable fibres, the hope is and the belief is that the risk is going to be extremely low.
So for asbestos to be dangerous, you need to inhale the fibre.
The feeling is really that is where the real damage can occur when we inhale these fibres, that they lodge in the lung and in the lining of the lung and can cause issues down the line.
And the thought is this sand, it isn't fine enough to actually inhale.
That is the understanding at the moment, and the way in which those fibres could become respirable would really take some pretty serious crushing and pulverizing, a real mechanical process that just isn't going to happen with the uses of these sands.
Yeah, so why then has the ACT particularly gone to these great lengths to close schools? I know you say they have a history of asbestos in the city, in Canberra, but really it's quite disruptive, isn't it? Do you think it was necessary?
It is, but look, I think different states and territories are going to be doing different things at this point, and we're already seeing that. Why, if we say that the risk is very low, why don't we just relax? Well, the answer is it's still asbestos, and we can't be certain that there is no danger from there. And so ultimately, you need to remove these products. You need to stop them being a potential risk for, again, any kid or parent or educator that's going to be exposed to this. Now, how do you remove these products? Well, as anyone who has found asbestos in their home knows, nowadays you don't just go and chuck it in the regular bin. You've got to go and get asbestos professionals to remove it appropriately, to gown appropriately, to wear masks, to wear gloves. And when it's found in schools, and if these products have been used, it could be found spread across a desk or tray or things like that. You really want to make sure that it's removed safely and efficiently. So Canberra has made the call to close schools to do it like that. Many other schools are just isolating particular rooms where those have been used. I don't think there's a right answer except to say it has to just be done safely.
Yeah, because in New South Wales, South Australia and Western Australia, the schools have simply been advised, yeah, to remove this sand safely. But what about these parents at home where they've bought this stuff from, you know, Kmart or Officeworks or wherever? What are they supposed to do with it?
So the advice from ASEA, the Asbestos and Silicosis Safety and Eradication Agency, is that if it has been unopened, it's relatively straightforward. You put it in a heavy-duty plastic bag, you double tape it, and then you dispose of it. But you don't dispose of it in your kitchen bin or your regular household bin. You get in touch with the council and you find out where the appropriate asbestos disposal centre is going to be within your council. If it's been open, however, it becomes a little bit more complicated. And the advice is that, again, because of this risk of not wanting this to be airborne and wanting to make sure that you can pick up everything, wipe things down with a damp cloth, wear gloves, wear coveralls, wear masks while you do it. If people have any doubt, they should be getting advice from asbestos removal experts.
Well, Anthony, it sounds like from what you've said that the risk to children is quite low. But as you indicated, we do have a concerning history when it comes to asbestos and associated cancer in Australia, don't we?
We absolutely do. So asbestos in Australia was widespread. We mined it and then we produced products with it. And importantly, we filled all of our buildings with it. So our homes have it. In fact, still one in three of our homes contain asbestos. Our schools, our hospitals, our workplaces, asbestos was everywhere. Mm. Australia started to phase out asbestos use in the 1980s. It was largely done by the 1990s, but it wasn't till 2003 that we outright banned asbestos in all forms and obviously stopped all imports at that point as well. So because of that legacy and also the very long latency period in some cases from exposure to the dust to actually developing disease means that we continue to still face people who are diagnosed with asbestos-related diseases. 4,500 Australians die every year as a result of asbestos-related diseases.
That's a lot.
And we see these waves that come through. So certainly the first waves were really those people who were miners and manufacturers who handled the raw asbestos products. And then there was a second wave where it was used in all these building products and in cement sheets and insulation and roofing and so forth, and the workers exposed in that setting. But nowadays, we're seeing this third wave, and that third wave is really those people who are home renovators and tradies. And so the disease can persist and will continue to persist for many decades to come.
Many people, of course, will remember Bernie Banton, who campaigned so heavily for the compensation for victims. Now he died in 2007.
That's right.
I've lost hundreds of colleagues that I work with. I've lost a brother. I have another brother that's suffering from asbestosis. I'd just like them to hurry up and pay up.
The sad thing is about asbestos-related diseases, and particularly mesothelioma, which is a cancer of the lining of the lungs that is almost exclusively associated with asbestos exposure, is that these have dismal prognosis. And in fact, it has the worst survival outcomes of any cancer within Australia.
So, Anthony, the community clearly does need to be aware of the risks, but do you think there are sufficient and stringent guidelines in place to really keep the public safe at this point?
Look, I think the response over the last week has been prompt and it's been decisive. So I think that shows that at least at a government level, the awareness is there and things can swing into action quite quickly. We have to keep a vigilance about it. And that, yes, it involves government action, but it also is a responsibility on us as a population that we do things safely, that if we identify asbestos in our homes, that we organise the removal of it if we're going to be doing any renovation or work, but we have to do it safely. We have to get the professionals in to do it. We can't just take the easy option and put it in the back of a ute and chuck it into a bin or in bushland. And those things happen and they can have really dangerous consequences down the line.
And how long then until, as a nation, we are truly asbestos free?
Yes. So even with best projections, we're looking at this remaining in the built environment until at least 2069, at which point it's not our problem anymore. It's our kids and our grandkids to come. They will be the ones who are facing it. So ongoing government support of the removal of asbestos is essential.
Associate Professor Anthony Linton is the Academic and Research Director of the Asbestos and Dust Diseases Research Institute. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Cinnamon Nippard. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.